Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada. I'm a perimenopausal mama to my toddler named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Toni Reed. I'm a naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Alberta. And I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to substitute professional medical advice. Always consult with your licensed healthcare provider.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast. Today, I'm so excited to have a guest, Christina Tahoses. She's a holistic nutritionist, and we're going to talk about love-led nourishment. I'm sure you're interested in what that is. We're going to talk about how to foster some body positivity and to listen to our body in terms of what it needs and what to eat. But first, I'll introduce Christina. So Christina Tahoses is a holistic nutritionist and owner of the Thrive Nutrition Practice, a global online wellness business focused on building physical and mental health resilience to stress through a nutritional approach she calls love-led nourishment. A former corporate banker, Christina turned to nutrition to help herself heal from chronic allergies and adrenal fatigue. Over the years, she has helped clients with high stress profiles improve sleep, immunity, and energy levels, relieve irritable bowel symptoms, and reverse high blood pressure, all through her in-depth knowledge about how to use food therapeutically. In 2017, she shared her nutritional strategy, Sleep, Love, Poop, on the TEDx stage as part of the TED Women's Global Conference. She uses the themes of Sleep, Love, Poop to help her clients both in private consultation and through her group programs, which she runs several times a year. Wow, that's an impressive bio, Christina. Welcome. I'm so glad you were able to join us today.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you so much for inviting me to be on. It's such an honor. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm definitely curious into some of the things that came up in your bio, and it sounds like you've been on quite a journey. I'd like to hear a little bit about what switched your focus from corporate banking to nutrition. Like, how did you discover that to support healing with chronic allergies and adrenal fatigue?
Yeah. Yes, I was in banking for almost a decade. And towards the end of my banking career, I had kids. And for me, having kids was obviously a joyful time, but it was also very depletive. And I had a lot of, just a lot of health issues that came up after I had kids. And I wasn't really getting the answers I wanted from the medical kind of community. I kept on getting sort of, you know, these allergies. I had horrible allergies to dust mites. My nose was stuffy all the time. I couldn't sleep. My anxiety levels were creeping up, and everything was just kind of going from bad to worse. And all I was getting from the doctors was like, here, take an antihistamine pill here, take a sleeping pill here, take a, you know, something for your anxiety. And I just stopped wanting that for myself. I wanted more of a long-term approach to my health, more of a holistic approach to my health. So I decided to take it upon myself to go back to school and study nutrition. And really what started off as just something that I did for my own personal health and for the health of my family as well, you know, because I thought, well, learning about nutrition can only help my family and myself. It became a vocation, you know, as I started to really realize how powerful food was in our health and how the choices that we make, you know, at least three times a day can really have a really powerful effect on our energy levels, on our immunity, on the way we sleep, and really on our ability to thrive as people. So yeah, I left my banking career and I did have, there was a hiatus there where I was just a mom and a student. And then I kicked off Thrive Nutrition in 2016.
Amazing. So a lot of people, they have this health trigger. They're frustrated with the conventional approach and they want to get to the cause and nutrition. Mm-hmm. It blows my mind when some, you know, doctors out there think, oh, it doesn't matter what you eat. But as you said, yeah, at least three times a day, what you're putting in your system really does make a difference. And I know myself, being a naturopathic doctor and going through kind of my journey as well, my relationship with food has changed over time. So, you know, sometimes, you know, initially at naturopathic college, we're like, oh, these foods are bad. You have to avoid this. This is going to make you feel awful. To now I'm trying to listen more to my body. And I'm really fascinated by your love-led nourishment approach. Can you explain that to our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. So the food choices that we make, and I think the food choices that we make, particularly under stress, are largely dictated by emotion, not logic, as far as I'm concerned, and as far as what I see in clinical practice as well. That's why we perceive an ice cream as a reward and broccoli as punishment, right? or why we perceive like a bowl of pasta or a glass of wine as like comfort instead of like a bowl of veggies or a glass of water, right?
Right.
But from a logical perspective, we know that water and vegetables are way better for us, right? From a physical and a mental health perspective, right? The problem is that we lack the emotional conviction to choose those. We lack the why, the what's really in it for me, right? And the only why that is strong enough to counter stress and the voice of the inner critic that arises during those really low points is love, right? Love of self. And so love-led nourishment is really about inviting people to ask themselves, what can I choose to eat right now in this moment that's going to show me love, that's going to show me kindness, compassion, and respect? And intuitively, when we pose ourselves that question, intuitively, we know the answer is not ice cream, right? Intuitively, our primal self will push us towards foods that come from Mother Earth, that come from the earth. That is love-led nourishment, the intentional choice towards live food that helps you connect to your own positive feelings of love and self-worth.
I love that, live food, because I've heard you say live food and dead food. Can you dive into that a little bit deeper?
Oh yeah, live.
Do I need to eat like an octopus that's just been killed, or
no.
Which I did in Korea? Yeah, or an eel where they just like chopped it up, cooked it, and you ate it right away.
Oh my god, that would be pretty funny. But no, I'm laughing as well because it's like a concept that I'm always pushing on my kids too, right? Like this whole like, you know, ma'am, can I have like a cracker? That's dead food. Have an apple. You know? So
and even Mary's crackers, I guess, would be dead food, right?
Well, yeah, no, I guess there are crackers and crackers, but but you know, I think the easiest way to kind of categorize live food versus dead food is live food is the food that you find at the front of the supermarket, right? Like it's the food that comes in its natural form from the land, from like, and that, I mean, I'm in the sea as well, right? So like apples and all the vegetables, all the fruits, you know, the seafood, you know, animal protein, plant-based protein, you know, like peas and legumes and all that kind of beautiful stuff, stuff that comes in its natural form. Whereas dead food, I categorize as like all the stuff that comes in a box that's been processed, right? So, you know, like crackers and flour and cereal. Basically the stuff that has been kind of made for it, pre-baked, packaged goods, baked goods, for example. That's something that I would categorize as dead food. A granola bar is something that I would categorize as dead food. So when I'm working with people who are really struggling with energy levels, I direct them towards the live foods, the foods that carry the energy from the sun and that carry the live enzymes and all the energy with them, right? Instead of kind of towards the dead food section, which is, it's been processed to death. It's not going to really do much for you except raise your blood sugar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great distinction. So packaged, processed, even if it says natural, organic, if it's still in a package, it most likely 100%. Is still not live food.
Yeah, I don't care if it says organic, fair trade, whatever. If it's in a box, it's been processed for you. And generally, it's not going to do as much for you from a live food component as, you know, something that's been picked from a tree or pulled from the ground.
Mm-hmm. I have this vivid memory of the first time of a friend rewarding herself with really healthy live food. She'd been studying all day. She'd gone for a very long bike ride and she came back home while we were, you know, kind of neighbors in an apartment building. And she was so excited to enjoy a fresh mango. And she saw me in the hall and she said, I'm just going to open up this fresh, or I'm just going to peel this fresh mango and enjoy it. Do you want to come over and have some? And I said, sure. And it was like the juiciest mango ever. She peeled it. She gave me half. She gave me the pit to suck off all the rest of the mango that was left. And that was the best mango I'd ever had. And that was the first time I saw someone reward themselves with some healthy food. Whereas other people might be like, I was studying all day. I went for a long bike ride. I'm going to go get that ice cream cone. But she really savored that mango. So that really has stuck with me. And a lot of times in our culture, yeah, reward, or if we're feeling bad, or even if we're feeling good, or it's a celebration, it's typically with dead food. So with your kids, what would you say when they say, well, I want some crackers, and you say it's dead food? What kind of live food do they go for?
Oh, well, look, you know what? They roll their eyes at me always, right? So it's still a, even I'm still struggling with that. But, you know, we're big fans of apple, what I call apple donuts here. So I take the core out of an apple and I slice it so that it's round with a hole in the middle.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. And then, you know, we put some like almond butter on it. And top it with like maybe like some coconut flakes or some raisins or something like that. Berries for the oldest. The youngest hates blueberries, hasn't tried it. She's 10. She still thinks a blueberry is going to kill her. but you know, she will have it in popsicle form. So, you know, sometimes we especially now in the summer, we'll make like, you know, fruit smoothie popsicles with a variety of fruits. So sometimes maybe like, you know, banana and mango, or like fruits, and we'll, you know, make a smoothie out of it and we'll freeze it in like, you know, for popsicles, and they'll have it in popsicle form. So those are the kind of the ones that have had the most longevity, I would say.
Those are great ideas. Yeah, all nourishing, nutrient dense, live food. So some great suggestions there. Thank you for sharing. Mm-hmm. And then looking at, so this love-led nourishment approach. So a lot of people are on autopilot, right? So they reach the end of the day, they're like, I made it. The kids are in bed. Let me have that glass of wine. Let me have that bag of chips or that chocolate, whatever it is. How can we start to break those automatic, you know, associations and patterns to step towards a love-led nourishment practice?
Yeah. It's a really hard thing to do because as you rightly said, we're all on autopilot, right? And it's hard to make intentional choices at that moment because we're tired, right? Like we just want to put our feet up. But I really try to encourage people in the same way as we listen to that inner critic, right? Like telling us sort of negative things about ourselves. And instead of listening to that inner critic with such attention, I really encourage people to, you know, press pause on that voice, and just practice compassion with themselves in the moment. And what I mean by that is like, just press pause on the inner critic and say to yourself, yeah, I'm tired, but the way I feel does not have to dictate my behavior and how I act, right? So like, in the same way as when you're angry with your children, you don't hit them, right?
Right.
In that same way, the fact that we're tired does not have to dictate us, you know, calling in for pizza. So it's kind of a similar thing. And I really believe that it's not enough to know what you have to do to really sort of eat healthy. I think we all know what those answers are, right? Like, but I think what's really more important than knowing is practicing and using that practice as an opportunity to reinforce positive and love-led messages to ourselves. So what do I mean by that? Come the end of the day, we are all tired. Nobody feels like making dinner, right? Like it's just the last thing we feel like doing. But in my mind, I personally have carved out that time and I've labeled that time not as a chore, but as an opportunity, as an investment in myself and as an opportunity to show myself love and kindness. So I intentionally put myself in the moment. So it's my sort of like practice of mindfulness to put myself in the moment and, you know, go into the fridge, choose like, you know, the foods that I feel are really going to fuel my body and my mind, choose them with the intention of, you know, showing myself love and kindness, my family love and kindness, and really just take that, you know, 20 minutes or half an hour to, you know, mindfully like prep the food and just invest and pour a little bit of love into that moment, right? And so I don't see it as a chore. I see it as like half an hour to 45 minutes of investment in myself that I carve out to show myself, you know, love and kindness, to show my body that thank you, you know, to give my body some thanks, you know, thank you so much for all the work that you've done for me today. This is now my opportunity to give back. And to really like, you know, choose those live foods that are really going to help me nourish myself, that are going to help promote my sleep, that are going to help me get a really good night's rest, that are going to help my family get that good night's rest and really nourish themselves. And so that's kind of the one practice that is a really like a non-negotiable for me, you know, time intentionally and relabeling that in my head at, you know, going from like chore to really, okay, I'm pausing here because I'm.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, no worries. Yeah, this is great. So I guess we can go back to going from chore to that part would be good. So perfect.
So labeling that time, relabeling that time, not as a chore, but as an investment in my body, an investment in my physical health and in my mental health.
I love that. Yeah. You've touched on so many important things because a lot of people, they just don't carve out that time. They do see it as a chore. They don't see it as an opportunity for a return on investment where they're going to sleep better. They're going to have more energy the next day. It's like, let me just throw that frozen thing in the oven. Let me just order that pizza. But really carving at that time and seeing it as an opportunity is so powerful. And I think looking at the why, right, as I'm getting older, and yes, I guess I'm 43, so I guess it's not that old, but I'm really starting to think about my mortality, and I want to be around as long as I can to see Stuart's life and to see what happens to him. And that's even had me question even just having alcohol. And I didn't drink a lot, but I haven't drank for several months now, because I just know I can't show up as the best parent I want to be. I know the effects, how it'll shorten my life, increase my risk of cancer. So I think looking at the why, and then looking at the how does it impact me if, let's say, I order that piece or order that pizza at night, how do I feel after? How do I sleep? Like being curious about that, right? Not beating yourself up, but saying, is it giving me more energy? Is it making me feel better, right? And going from there, and then having those nights where it's okay, I made this great meal, I'm nourishing myself. How does that translate into my family's mood, our health, our immunity? So from that perspective, it can be so powerful. So I love that you shared that and you carve out that time every day, it sounds like. Okay. And as I get older, I'm definitely noticing changes in my body and in my energy and mood. And I'm doing what I can to nourish myself and not judge myself with, you know, how things are looking. But for yourself, how is your relationship with your food, what you're eating, your body, and your self-talk changed over time?
Yeah. Gosh, it's really I've kind of done a 180 there. So with each of my pregnancies, I gained a lot of weight. And Lisa, I'm 5'1", like on a good day, and have gained like 15 to 20 kilos on that frame.
Okay.
Was a big deal for me. And, you know, each time I had to offload that weight, it was a real struggle, right? Like it didn't just like come off naturally breastfeeding. Right.
I know, whereas some social media posts may lead you to believe it does. It just drops off.
Exactly. Like it just drops like it did for Gisele Bündchen, right? Like, no, that did not happen for me. And similarly, you know, because you're so tired in that first year, I was really exhausted in that first year, and my health was sort of in decline. It was really hard for me to action a plan, right? To kind of, you know, lose that excess weight. And what was even harder was just that voice inside my head, right? That was just like, oh goodness, you really let yourself go, Christina. How could you be this heavy and you're not doing anything about it, you know? And then I would just like stuff my face with chocolate, right? Which was, again, like, not logical, right? Like it wasn't a logical response to my stress and to my inner critic, but it's what I did, right? So my relationship with myself, I had this moment where I realized that all I was doing during this time of like feeling really down about my body and feeling really down on myself was taking stuff out of my diet, right? I was like, today I'm not going to have any sugar. Today I'm not going to have that chocolate. And the inner voice inside me was like, because you don't deserve it, because it's going to make you fatter, because you're ugly, because you're this, you know, like it was all about like taking stuff away, but it was never about putting stuff in, right? And as a nutritionist now in clinical practice, I see that in my clients, right? Because I have everybody keep a food diary, and you know, during our conversations, it comes out that, you know, they've also tried to lead these sort of deficit-led days of food, right? Where they're taking away calories, taking away fat, taking away sugar, taking all this stuff away, but they're not putting stuff in that counts, right? Like they're not eating the healthy fats. They're not eating the live foods. They're not filling their plate with vegetables. They're not having the protein that they need, right? And so, you know, for me, it was really this aha moment of like, who cares if I didn't eat the chocolate if I'm also not eating vegetables, and if I'm also not drinking the water that I need to drink, and if I'm also not doing all of these things that are really going to make an impact on my vibrancy and on my health. So for me, it went from like, don't give things up, but trade up, right? Like trade up what you're eating, right? So yes, if you feel like having some chocolate, for example, make it count, right? So I started making these like chocolate avocado puddings.
Oh, those are so good.
Which are delicious, right?
And they're live, right? And live foods.
Right. And it's full of live food. And the thing is, like, you can't overdose on that because it is so nutrient dense that you would be hard pressed to have like, you know, like 2 cups of that. It's impossible, right? Whereas you could finish a whole tub of ice cream, right? Because it's just empty.
Right. Yep.
When you're eating live food, right? When you're eating nutrient dense food, it's much easier for you to be able to tap into that, to those leptin and ghrelin hormones, right? To those hormones that tell you when you're really hungry and tell you when you're really satiated, right? So when you start eating the foods that count, that really help promote like energy in your body, then everything starts to change, right? Then you start getting these like small wins of like, oh, I feel full now, you know, I can stop eating, right? Mm-hmm. I feel satiated. I don't need to go looking for more food after dinner because I am satiated. I don't need that chocolate or those crisps or the popcorn while I'm having, you know, my Netflix and chill time. I don't need that because I've had a meal that has satiated me.
So powerful. I love that trade up mm-hmm. your foods.
Yeah. Yeah. That really clinched it for me. And it was a real moment of like, you know, pairing that with the love-led nourishment was a game changer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I find mm-hmm. when people deprive themselves, so let's say they want to have, you know, a little bit of chocolate, but they're trying not to have it. So they're having, you know, maybe some, you know, super nutrient devoid foods like rice cakes, and they're eating these things that they could eat a ton of. They typically eat a lot more of that and they're not satisfied because they're not getting what they want. And then they don't have those signals that they're full because a lot of these processed foods have been engineered with the perfect salt, fat, sugar ratio to make you want to eat more, right? And not be satiated. So I love that idea of trading it up and making it nutrient dense. So your body then says, okay, I'm satisfied. I've had that taste that I wanted. I had that chocolate, but I've got that avocado in there, those healthy fats mm-hmm. that you're not going to overeat.
Exactly. Exactly right, Lisa. Yeah.
Definitely. And I think in your practice, you have an approach using intuitive eating, right? Listening to your body to see what it needs, eating mindfully. Can you explain a little bit about what would be a good way to approach mealtime and in a mindset where we're in an intuitive eating state?
Well, the first thing that I like to do, you know, I'm a person who also just has struggled with, you know, kind of taking myself out of fight or flight and into rest and digest, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that a lot of people struggle with, right? Because we're always, I feel like, in fight or flight just by the mere fact of being kind of glued to our phones, right? We're always responsive to that text coming in or, you know, to that like on our post or whatever it is. Right. For me, intuitive eating is about intentionally transitioning from fight or flight into rest and digest. Cause I think without that transition, it becomes extremely difficult to practice true intuitive eating, right? Because, you know, a lot after years of like eating refined food, you know, this as a naturopathic doctor, you know, our gut bacteria changes and we start to get cravings. And we think those cravings are intuitive. Like you think your body wants chocolate because it's craving magnesium, right? But it couldn't be further from the truth, right? So sometimes, you know, our intuition isn't correct, if you see what I mean, right?
Yes.
Like, yeah. Sometimes it's not intuition. Sometimes it's our gut bacteria that's just not giving us the right signals, right?
Mm-hmm. Or hormones potentially.
Or yeah, exactly. So the first step really for me is making sure that you are in rest and digest even when you're kind of prepping your food. So I like to teach people a bit of vagus nerve breathing, like breathing to activate the vagus nerve. Mm-hmm. So getting people to kind of inhale for four counts and pausing there for three, and then a big exhale through the mouth for eight counts. And just kind of doing that a few times, you know, sometimes you can, depending on how stressed you are, you know, you can start with like three times and, you know, move it up to kind of five times and then move it up to kind of 30 seconds and take it from there. But if you can do it for like just a minute or two, you know, where you're just practicing this breath and this vagus nerve activation to really connect your gut to your brain, to really activate rest and digest mode and transition you in from this sort of state of high stress into a state where you can really practice love-led nourishment and really just hold space for yourself and what you need in that moment. And when you are in that moment, when you can practice love-led nourishment, when you're in rest and digest, your body naturally can take you towards those live foods, right? You don't have to struggle so hard to kind of go towards them, because that's what your body will ask you to give it, if you see what I mean.
I do. I love that. Yeah. So many of us are, you know, rushing around. We might be eating while we're on the computer, or we're eating standing while we're feeding our kids because mealtime's so stressful. But that act of getting into that parasympathetic nervous system, the rest and digest, by activating that gatekeeper, the vagus nerve, even just with 30 seconds of breathing, right, can be so powerful. And I love that. Yeah. Just that food preparation component too, right? Where you carve out that time, sounds like you're doing it mindfully, you know, even just the feed forward act of smelling the food, anticipating it, right? Whereas it's like, okay, let's dial Uber Eats. Okay, it's at the door and let me shove it in my face right now.
Exactly. And you know, it doesn't have to be complicated, right? Like, you know, sometimes at lunch, like I don't have time at lunch to kind of make myself a Instagram worthy meal, right? So sometimes it's just about like chopping some cucumbers, chopping some, you know, apples, chopping some pepper, and, you know, having that with like some leftover, like, you know, chicken or something, yeah. You know, or do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be this like super complicated exercise where you have to make yourself something, you know, worthy of taking a picture of. Sometimes it just has to have those live food components, you know, and if on the side you want to like, you know, have that kind of slice of bread or whatever, then, you know, the idea is like, it's not about, again, like it's about what you are putting in there, right? It's about what you're doing as opposed to what you're taking out. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Great. So perception shift.
Yeah. Actively working on that perception shift.
And what do you see? So as women are aging and going through perimenopause and menopause, do you see certain nutritional mistakes or things that they're just not nourishing themselves with? I know, you know, for example, protein is huge to keep, you know, muscle mass and bone health up. But what are some of the deficits you see as women are going through these hormonal transitions? What are some things they could add into their diet to support their health?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that that I see sort of as a fundamental issue, I guess, as women transition into that perimenopausal stage, is that we, by the time we get to perimenopause, we've spent years practicing self-sacrifice over self-worth, right? So we've spent years putting the, you know, and prioritizing the needs of our children, our family, the needs of like our colleagues, our work, over our own, right? So we don't really have a strong, a lot of the women that I work with have a hard time communicating what they want and what they need, right? And they have a hard time understanding how those needs and translate into how to feed themselves, right? Because we've been so used to kind of like feeding ourselves on, leftovers, or feeding ourselves on the go, or, you know, whatever the case may be. So one of the things that really gets affected by that time, and also because we've been so stressed, right, is our gut health. So I really try to emphasize just a few kind of like intentional daily practices to improve that. The first thing is drinking water. A lot of us just really are not drinking the water that we need to function optimally during the day. And it's a super easy thing to do. It's free.
Yep.
So it doesn't entail like going out to the health food store and finding like the latest and greatest supplement. It's totally free. And it's really the one thing that I find makes a massive difference to my energy levels. If I focus on drinking a liter of water between the time I get up and lunchtime, say, I'm a different person.
Nice. Yes.
In terms of like just energy and clarity, mental clarity, and even just, you know, patience, right? Like I'm more patient with myself. I'm more patient with my family. I'm just, you know, a better person for it. So that's the first thing. The second thing, in terms of like really improving gut health and improving energy levels and sleep, and as you said, is protein, right? So really making sure that, you know, whether it be animal-based protein or plant-based protein, so whether it be like a piece of chicken or a plate of lentils, that you're really looking and prioritizing protein with your every meal. And then the other thing that I like to emphasize is getting a variety of vegetables with every meal as well. So like not having like tomatoes three times a day, for example, but, you know, having like, if you're having like tomatoes and, you know, with your breakfast, say with your eggs or whatever, and some avocado, to really use lunch to, you know, maybe have some like spinach or arugula, or like really just try to increase the variety of vegetables, because I find that really increasing the different fibrous vegetables that you put in your body is a really easy, cheap, and effective way of improving your gut health and really feeding those bacteria that are really going to promote energy and immunity and, you know, all the good things in the body.
Definitely. So water, I like that goal of a liter between breakfast and lunch. Yes, so many people are chronically dehydrated, and then protein, typically breakfast, can be devoid. Sometimes in our perimenopausal moms too, I've seen lunch, there's not much protein. They might just have a salad. A lot of people are restricting calories during these times too, because their body is changing, but that can just be having the opposite effect, right? Because then there's typically more binge eating, you know, right before dinner or after dinner in front of the TV. So I like the idea of, yeah, the variety of veggies, protein with every meal, staying hydrated. So these are things that can nourish us as we get older.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we didn't touch on healthy fats. That's obviously, you know, really, really important. And, you know, something that, you know, we need from just, you know, a hormonal perspective as well. But I find that those, you know, the issues that we spoke about, like the water, the protein and the vegetables, is a really good kind of like just foundation to make sure that we're really improving our resilience to stress. Because, you know, as these are really stressful years for women, right? Like their careers are their careers are really taking off, or they're starting to refocus on their careers after maybe a hiatus, right? Mm-hmm. And their bodies are changing, right? So they're noticing that, yeah, it's hard to lose weight, for example, or they're noticing that when they do put on weight, that it's going around the belly and they're not liking how that's impacting digestion. They're feeling bloated all the time and they're gassy. So, you know, having those fundamentals in place is a good way to just keep the body detoxed, keep the body naturally rich in antioxidants and those building blocks that they need to sleep and get really regenerative sleep at the end of the day. Cause that's the one thing that really goes during perimenopause. Mm-hmm. Our sleep. I mean, I know that you know, there are some days that I even really struggle with it. And if I'm not careful about, you know, my food intake and my alcohol intake, as you said, Lisa, that's really important. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, it really starts to, you know, go downhill. So
definitely. So all amazing strategies for those that eat more of a vegetarian diet. I know they struggle with getting in protein. What would be your favorite vegetarian sources of protein that are still live, if you will?
I would say legumes are probably my favorite source. So, you know, beans, lentil, any kind of beans, cannellini. I love cannellini beans.
Nice.
Black beans, kidney beans, lentils, you know, the fermented soya, like tempeh, for example, is also one that I recommend. I would say those are my favorite ones.
Great. Yeah. I know, because there can be a lot of processed vegetarian or vegan, I should say, you know, hamburgers, pseudo hamburgers, all those things.
I kind of feel like our take is the same on that, right? Like in the same way as I wouldn't want to buy, like, you know, really processed chicken nuggets, right, for my kids. I don't, you know, that's in the, there's nothing wrong with doing that from time to time, for example, but I wouldn't want that to be a staple in their diet, right? In the same way as I wouldn't want that to be a staple in our kind of like animal food, a protein diet, I wouldn't want a processed soya burger with a lot of processed oils, right?
Totally. And
to be part of my daily diet too. So that it is something to be careful of if you're on a vegan or a vegetarian diet, definitely.
Thanks for sharing those. And then I want to touch on, and it'll segue into some of the offerings you have, but the sleep, love, poop theme, I guess that comes up with you a lot. Can you touch on that and then share with listeners what working with you looks like, or what are the options?
Yeah, sure. So this fall, I'll be kicking off my next round of sleep, love, poop workshops, starting off with sleep. So I've got my sleep workshop is called Sleep Tight, Wake Up Bright. So we talk about how to use nutritional therapy and what are the components that, you know, how food essentially does help us get a good night's sleep. So we go beyond kind of like coffee
and a lavender in your bath. You go beyond that, right?
Right. We go beyond that. Yeah. Because, you know, as well, by the time we hit 40, we need something a little bit more powerful than, you know, exactly like lavender drops in the bath, or, you know, the typical kind of sleep hygiene that we read about in the press, right? So I'm kicking that off. I've got a few other group coaching programs One is I killed my sugar beast. So that's one that really focuses on love-led nourishment and how to kind of transition into that kind of deficit-led dieting to love-led nourishment, to really trading up your diet. And I've got another one called I've Got the Power, which is, you know, for women going through perimenopause that really want to focus on love-led nourishment as a practice for improving their gut health and really seeing if they can target then, you know, that kind of visceral fat, that belly fat accumulation. I also like to collaborate with other professionals. So I've just finished a collaboration with Amy Aravantinos from Amy Fitness. We did a tight tushy 30-day challenge. The aim really there was to sort of intentionally use fitness and nutrition to connect and fall in love with your body. And, you know, I think a lot of women have a love-hate relationship with their tushy. So we wanted to really transform that into a love relationship. And in the fall, I've got another collaboration with with two amazing executive leadership coaches, Alicia Saint and Heather Haig. They do a leadership coaching program called Women Lead Now. And I'm their consultant on kind of helping women, you know, just build that physical energy and that physical and mental health resilience that they need to execute on their career and professional goals. So it's a busy September through to December for Thrive. So I'm really excited about what this fall has to offer.
Yeah, it sounds busy, but it sounds like really important offering. So it's more from a love-led perspective as opposed to deprivation and grit and just push through and take things away. So I think a lot of our listeners could benefit from those. So we'll be sure to link to those in our show notes. What's the best way for people to reach you, follow you, get in touch with you?
So you can get in touch with me by email, Christina. I spell my name without an H, so it's Christina at thrivenutritionpractice.com. You can also go to my website, thrivenutritionpractice.com, and connect with me through there. I'm on Facebook. I've got a page on Facebook, Thrive Nutrition Practice, and I'm also on Instagram, Thrive NP Christina. Yeah.
Love it. And definitely check out, ask our listeners to check out your TED talk because I really enjoyed that. And it talks about what we touched on today. So we'll be sure to share the link to the TED talk in the show notes, as well as all your offerings. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on before we move to the second part of the podcast?
No, I think we're all good. Thank you, Lisa.
I love the approach that you have. And I think these changes are so powerful and it doesn't have to be complicated, but it's about, you know, perception, intention, and adding things in as opposed to depriving yourself. So thank you for sharing all of that. So we'll shift gears now. So can you think of over the last little while, Christina, a super mom moment, something that went really well? I can go first. If you need a moment to think about it, you let me know.
Well, luckily, Lisa, I had this moment last week. So as soon as you said like super mom moment, this came to mind. So last week, my kids did a camp. They did a tennis camp, and on Wednesday mornings, I have a networking meeting really early in the morning. And so I wasn't able to make them breakfast. And my husband also had early morning meetings. So my kids were in charge that day. And of course, they sort of, the oldest one executed a bit better, but the youngest one was a disaster.
How old are your kids? Sorry, I didn't ask you.
Sorry?
How old are your kids? I didn't ask you.
Oh, they are. So yeah, 10 and 13.
Okay. Just to give some perspective. Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. Just to give some perspective. So I did leave them instructions, but, and the older one is like responsible and, you know, she followed them, but the younger one was like, whatever. Yeah. Got it. I'm not very hungry anyway. I'll just have this. And of course at 10:30, she called me and she said, oh, mommy, I'm not feeling well. I've got the shakies, which is her term for like, I'm hungry. And that evening when she got home, when we were talking over dinner, she said to me, you know, mom, I've noticed that what I eat for breakfast affects my performance. So tomorrow, can you make me the breakfast that you usually make me?
Nice.
And I'm like, yes, win for mom.
That's teaching her like intuitive eating right? In such an amazing way. Wow.
I was like, yes, okay, this is a win, right? Like she, hopefully this is a lesson she'll never forget, right?
Right. Yeah, that's definitely a super mom moment. So you're doing a great job.
And it doesn't always happen, but it happened that day. And I have to mark it for the win.
Amazing. I love it. And then my super mom moment. So thinking more about, you know, body positivity or even neutrality, right? So not beating myself up. I'm like, oh, you know, look at my waist or my love handles today and what I'm wearing. So what I've done to practice more self-love and body positivity is in my daily journal, I have a little section now that I'll write something, you know, oh, I'm so grateful for my legs for being strong so I can walk and ride my bike, just putting something about my body that I appreciate or love. And then I'm also, when I'm walking by, you know, a mirror or a glass that I can see my, or like a window where I can see my reflection in, instead of like zoning in on, oh, how did my shorts look or whatever, I try to look at myself in the eyes first and say, oh, I love you. Or I know it sounds cheesy, but just shifting my focus there.
Beautiful.
Thank you. It's a work in progress, but I'm really trying to have that intention. And I feel like it's just allowing me to see the strengths and the things I appreciate about my body.
I love that.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, that's really powerful.
And I know you're doing a great job, but can you dig deep and think of a mama mess up? You let me know if you need a moment, but you can go first if you can think of one.
Oh my God, I can think of like multiple.
We all can.
Yeah.
It's just, what do we want to share, right?
Yeah. I mean, oh yeah, multiple, but actually there's just one thing that I want to say about what all of those moments have in common, I think is probably more meaningful. You know, I feel like because all of these mess up moments are like moments where, you know, I've flown off the handle, or, you know, I haven't practiced like compassion with my kids. You know what I mean? Like those. Yeah. And if I think about all of those moments, the one thing that they have in common is that it all kind of came from the fact that I wasn't taking care of myself first. Mm-hmm. Right. That I wasn't, you know, prioritizing moments for just a little bit of just almost like quiet time for myself. I feel like there's certain things now that, you know, because I'm a nutritionist, I do out of habit, right? Like in terms of, you know, I go to the supermarket and I know, you know, what foods I'm going to pick out so that when I open the fridge, I don't make bad decisions about what I'm going to cook or what I'm going to prepare or what I'm going to eat. But what I'm less good at is giving myself moments for quiet reflection and giving myself moments where I'm really allowing myself to just tap into what I need in the moment, for my own spiritual well-being. And when I don't give myself that time, I'm more prone to flying off the handle. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that if that makes sense or is worth sharing, but
it totally is worth sharing. Yeah. I think that's a great bird's eye view, right? Stepping back and seeing what's the common theme there. And we can't show up if we're not giving ourselves that time and space to have that quiet time or whatever is going to fill us up. And I love the language that you use. You didn't say I'm bad at, you said I'm less good at. So I think that's a way we can all describe areas we could improve upon. So thank you so much for sharing. Very insightful. And then I'll share my mess up. So I don't want to tell you because you're a nutritionist too. So, but we've been letting Stuart watch some TV while he has breakfast. And I know that's one of the worst things you can do because then he doesn't even know what's happening, right? He doesn't even know what he's eating. So we got a little bit lazy around that. Dinner, we're good. Lunch during the week, he's at school or preschool. And we normally, you know, eat outside or together on the weekends. So we focus on eating together and talking about food and our rose and thorn, like a good thing and a bad thing that happened in the day. But breakfast, we've kind of let slide. So we got to get back on the TV while you're eating. And then maybe when you're done. Yeah. you get a little lazy, right? It's just easy.
Yeah.
So that's my mess up. And then what is your mama must have? Something that's helping you get by, something you just love or can't live without?
Okay, so I have two. Can I give you two?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so the first is I have like a 600 ml water bottle, and I try to make that instead of my phone, the thing that I'm glued to.
Nice.
Because I find that it really helps me drink more water, which is something that, you know, I'm bad at too, right? So I really try, like I walk around with it all the time. Yeah. If I go to somebody's house, I travel with it.
Nice.
If I go to the park, I have it on, you know, I really try to sort of just have it be, you know, an appendage for me. So that's the one thing. And the second thing is, you know, I have this KitchenAid 3.5 cup food processor. Like it's a little mini one.
Yeah.
And I just adore that thing. I use it for food prep all the time. It whizzes everything in like seconds. It's so efficient. It's way better than the bigger food presser.
Okay. Good to know.
And I just like I use it on the daily, like at least twice.
Nice. So for smoothies or dips or
no, I don't use it for smoothies. I do use I have a Vitamix when I want to do a smoothie, but I use it to make like dips and sauces and pesto, and like if I need to make like a spaghetti sauce, for example, like a bolognese sauce rather, like if I need to chop onions and garlic and carrots or whatever, I'll just blitz it in that.
Nice.
And I don't have to bother, you know, chopping everything finely or whatever.
Great. Those are some good bum hacks for quick ways to prep your food.
Yeah. It's really shaves off like 10 minutes from your food prep for sure.
Awesome. And then I'm curious, which water bottle do you bring with you everywhere? Is it a pretty one?
No, it's, you know what? It's a glass one. It's called, what's it? Just trying to look. Oh, it's, you know, those glass ones with the rubber.
Yeah. So it doesn't slip through your hands. Life Factory. Okay, yeah. Great.
First time I've ever noticed the brand on it, actually.
Yeah.
But it's a good Life one. Factory.
Great. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing. Those are really good ideas for people to, you know, incorporate. So some great mama must-haves. And my mama must-have, I heard about these rompers through several people. So they're called Smash and Tess rompers. So they're a Vancouver-based company and they're really comfortable. So it's like a one piece, right? Whether it's like shorts and a top attached or kind of wider pants with a tank top with a little belt, but it's all one piece. So it's super cool. It's made out of bamboo, I think, and it's really light and just feels so comfortable, but you still look dressed up. So they're Smash and Tess rompers. Oh, you can get them online. Yeah.
sharing the link for that.
I will. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So I'll share that in the show notes and I'll share it with you as well. But they have all different styles, one for more kind of vegging out with hoodie ones. And I'm just starting to notice more people are wearing them because they're so comfortable. So I'll share that. But thank you so much. Great. Yeah. Yeah. I'll share that. No problem.
Sounds like a good Zoom uniform.
Yes, definitely. Relaxed, but still presentable and comfortable. But thank you so much, Christina. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing all of these insightful tips. These are some great strategies to start to foster more intuitive eating, more nourishment, and to support our health as we get older. So we'll be sure to post all of the links to your offerings and your social media. And then I just wanted to update listeners on Dr. Tony's next hypnobirthing info session for expecting parents is happening on August 31st. So it's for parents looking to trust their instincts and their body during labor and birth. So you can sign up for that info session at www.hypnobirthingcalgary.com/register. And then I'm also excited that my Wild Collective Toronto enrollment is opening for fall 2021. You can get on the wait list at wildcollectivetoronto.com. So it's a recipe for connection, and it's also an instruction manual for your body and to be empowered about your health. So get on the wait list to be the first in the know when the doors open. And for our listeners, you can email us or connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. We'd love you to subscribe to the podcast, leave us a review and a 5-star rating if you enjoyed this episode. And please tell your perimenopausal mama friends about us too. So stay safe and healthy, everyone. And thanks again, Christina, for joining us.
Thank you, Dr. Lisa. Thank you so much. I love how you build community and really empower women's health. So thank you so much.
Thank you. I can say the same about you. Well, take care, everyone. Have a great week. Until next time. Bye-bye.